Thank you very much. Good morning to fellow chairpersons, program director, and everybody here and at home. The committee conducted an oversight visit to University of Fort Hare in the aftermath of the destruction stemming from stakeholder protests. Indeed, it is a sad reality that we are confronted with at the University of Fort Hare. The university has lost invaluable infrastructure, which is buildings, ICT, and equipment that is critical for teaching, learning, and research. That's because stakeholders could not sit together and engage at that institution. We're deeply concerned that it required such extensive damage to the university property for the university stakeholders to get the attention of council and management and to finally acknowledge and respond to student grievances. The outcome reflects a troubling pattern of neglect and failure to engage proactively with student bodies and other stakeholders. The estimated cost of damage, they were told, is between 250 million and 500 million. And had the university management and council consulted students on how to move forward while a process to amend the SRC constitution was underway, some of the things that occurred in the past few weeks could have been averted. We wish to express our deep concerns regarding several pressing issues affecting that institution. Number one is governance transparency. The extension of the vice chancellor's term was executed without consultation with the institutional forum, undermining the principles of participatory governance and stakeholder engagement. In fact, council indicated to us that they did not see the need to consult with institutional forum as they were extending the term that they had already agreed on, which is a very troubling confirmation that came from council itself. On student housing conditions, the state of student residences at the University of Fort Hare is alarming. Numerous facilities, in our view, fail to meet the Department of Higher Education and Training minimum norms and standards for student housing. The reports indicated that some residences there have lacked hot water for several years due to neglect and dysfunctional geysers. In fact, if you go to university-owned residences there, each and every room, they've got what we call a VASCOM. Like, I don't know what is a VASCOM in any other language, but everybody has got a VASCOM because there's no hot water. There's never been hot water in a number of years there. So even students, they've accepted that they need to make alternate measures. Some of those residences, there's one called 2.3. It's one of the new buildings that government has spent millions of rands on. Itself, it's moving, the building itself is moving away from each other. So there's a huge crack in one place where one day we'll wake up and students on one side, maybe they will have 2.3A and 2.3B because the building is moving away from each other, which is a serious concern for us because a Department of Labor, if they can go there, they will, if they have certificate of occupancy there, they will revoke it immediately because it has safety concerns for students. But safety and security deficiencies, the security infrastructure is severely compromised. Biometric access control systems are non-functional, and security personnel are not equipped with necessary tools of trade to perform their duties effectively. This poses a significant risk to the safety of students and staff. We urge the relevant authorities to address these issues with urgency, transparency, and accountability. The well-being of students and the integrity of the institution depend on it. In fact, to this effect, we had received, the university reported two deaths of two female students, one right in front of the main entrance, and we're told that she hanged herself in a very small tree with very weak branches. Or the branch that we're told that she hanged herself with is too weak. It's too small. It's a very small tree. But security there could have seen this thing if indeed one, they were effective, or two, the child was hanging from that. On right to protest, we affirm the constitutional right of students and all stakeholders to protest and express their grievances. This right is a cornerstone of our democracy and must be safeguarded with vigilance and integrity. However, we urge student leadership to exercise this right responsibly and ensure that their legitimate concerns are not exploited or derailed by individuals with ulterior motives. It is imperative that protests remain peaceful and constructive, reflecting the values and aspirations of student body. The committee unequivocally condemns any acts of arson, vandalism, and destruction of university property. Such actions undermine the very cause they claim to support and inflict harm on the broader academic community. We call upon the relevant authorities to investigate these incidents thoroughly and ensure that those responsible are held accountable in accordance with the law. It will never take a crisis or distractions for leadership to listen. We urge the administration, not only at the University of Fort Hare, but all our institutions, to reflect on the systematic issues that would have led to this moment at Fort Hare and to commit to meaningful, transparent, and sustained dialogue with students moving forward. The University of Free State decided to discontinue provisional registration from 2026 academic year, meaning that students who have outstanding debt will not be able to register, given that they will not have an opportunity to secure registration while still looking for funds to pay the debt. What is concerning there is that NSFAS-funded students who are supposed to be funded for a full cost of study, due to the institution charging accommodation fees higher than the NSFAS cap, those students will end up owing the institution. And this plan by the university, they would have excluded these poor students that every system that we have would have indicated that they don't have anybody. That is why NSFAS is funding them. And this phenomenon that university-owned residences charge more than the NSFAS cap should be investigated across, because if you are doing that, it means you are tactically excluding poor students who are funded by NSFAS and others. The manner in which this particular university handled the protest was also concerning. Students were brutally assaulted by private security and police for protesting peacefully, which escalated the peaceful protest to violence, resulting in damage to university buildings. We are concerned that the eviction of students from campus, especially those who stay far away from home, while we understand that this is the last resort to protect property and lives, it also puts student safety at risk, especially females who are already vulnerable. Doesn't make sense to us that a university will issue a notice on Sunday night saying we're giving students 24 hours to vacate and go home. It shows that sometimes our university management don't really understand the issues. I mean, these students of NSFAS, once they've received their allowances, it ends within 2 days. So 10 days after they'd received their allowances, you are telling them that they must leave Bloemfontein and go home. And home might be in Mthatha, home might be in Gauteng, home might be in KwaZulu-Natal. It means they must then fundraise this transport money from somewhere. So if you are giving them 24 hours, it really doesn't make sense, especially at University of Free State, where we believe that the escalation, the security brutality that the university engaged in, there was really unnecessary. We'd see in videos that university or this private security went to student residences throwing bricks themselves at student residences and all of that. So it was really unnecessary. And for university management to take this decision, in our view, it was really unnecessary. The committee would have now recommended to the Minister of Higher Education and Training to appoint an independent assessor at the University of Fort Hare. This is not an easy decision. But when you look at the decisions that were taken by that council and the management, and we engaged with them for close to 14 hours in one, the marathon meeting, you could tell that council, shame, They've got their own issues. You ask them a simple question, they could not really answer us. We arrived that at the conclusion that the minister should then evoke section 43 and 44 to put in an administrator to investigate the fitness to hold office of that institution. On NSFAS, student funding continues to remain a challenge. It is concerning that NSFAS continues to pay accommodation fees to private accommodations that do not meet the minimum norms and standards of student housing. This is due to corruption by NSFAS-appointed accreditors who collude with service providers to get their accommodation accredited, even though they fall short of their required standard. We're also concerned that despite NSFAS securing additional funds to address the funding shortfalls and fund the defunded students, we continue to receive complaints from students who have not been paid. Delays in the finalization of the payment process will have dire consequences for these students who may face financial exclusion in 2026. NSFAS application for 2026 academic year is open. We would like to urge prospective students to apply in time. The closing date there will be on the 15th of November. The committee conducted an oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal, and one of the focus areas of the oversight was infrastructure. We are concerned about what we observed at the Nkandla campus of the Umfolozi TVET College. The new campus was funded by National Skills Fund to expand access to education and training, especially in remote rural areas. As we did talk about the student residences, we found that the residence was occupied in 2023. However, the ceiling was already falling in student rooms and showers. There was no maintenance of the residence, but despite this, the department had allocated funds for the operation. Yeah. Let me drink water first. The department that allocated funds for this TVET college to be operationalized. At the University of Zululand, we're pleased with the completion of the new infrastructure project. This includes the engineering building, which boasts the state-of-the-art lecture rooms and teaching and learning equipment and laboratories, and new residences, including those that were refurbished. Our main concern was regarding old residences that were not fit to accommodate students. We were concerned that student safety was compromised, given that the windows of some rooms were broken, the butler gate could not be closed, and toilets were blocked. We asked the university to decommission some of these problematic residences and refurbish them. At DUT in Dumiso campus, we saw residences that were decommissioned due to structural defects. Instability of a steep embankment was reported, which had affected the stability of structures, causing them to crack and to settle differentially. The structural assessment report identified water damage in the ceilings, several cracks in building walls and floor surfaces, and algae forming on the walls. Similar structural defects were identified on the engineering building, which has been completed. Walls were separating as well, which raised questions regarding the professional advice provided before the commencement of that construction. The Department of Labor has also issued instruction for the stoppage of that construction. This was concerning because it will require additional funding to bring the building to an acceptable state. The construction of 100-bed residence at the University of KwaZulu-Natal Westville campus was abandoned by the contractor. It was reported that the contractor did not have funds to continue with the construction and filed for bankruptcy. An additional 800-bed oval residence, which was built a few years ago, was decommissioned due to not receiving a certificate of occupancy from the municipality. The university continues to pay 30 million rands annually in loan repayments for the accommodation that they are not using. It is a serious concern in the sector that contractors and other professionals get away with murder for shoddy work. At no point were these contractors named and blacklisted by these institutions. Lastly, the committee is concerned that our senior officials in the department, from the DG to his DDGs, continue to mislead the committee on numerous occasions. The committee had actually suggested that the chairperson must write to the president and ask him to move the DG to another department because of this. If you look at all the challenges in the sector, the department must take blame for failing to do their oversight work at all these institutions. Thank you very much.